Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. On this episode of Celeb Savant, I'll be speaking to Anthony Costa. He is an English singer, songwriter, and actor, and is best known as a member of the boy band Blue. Blue are an English boy band consisting of members Simon Webb, Duncan James, Anthony Costa, and Lee Ryan. The group formed in 2000 and released three studio albums before announcing a hiatus in late 2004. In 2011, the group reformed and represented the United Kingdom at the 2011 Eurovision Song Contest in Düsseldorf with the song I Can, coming in 11th place with 100 points. Blue will be releasing their latest album, Heart and Soul, and have sold 15 million records worldwide. According to the British phonographic industry, Blue has been certified for 3.6 million albums and 1.6 million singles in the UK. Up next, Anthony Costa from Blue. Anthony from Blue, thank you for your time today. Where do we find you in the world? What's happening in your life and how are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Things are going well. It's nice to get a second bite of the cherry, so to speak, with the boys. We're looking forward to the album coming out. And we're really excited. Things are looking up, which is great.
How did you guys choose the name Blue? Where does it come from?
Oh, God. Oh, wow. That's a big question that we haven't answered for about 20 years. I think back in the day, it was a lot of boy band names, Backstreet Boys, Boys to Men.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to, even though we respect them and love what they do, we didn't want to go down that, hey, we're a boy band. Let's call ourselves like Boys Light, you know, Boys Are Us or something. Do you know what I mean? So... At the time, Pink was out and she was having a really, you know, she was being amazing. And we thought, what about like Blue? Like, what about that? That, you know, it's a colour. It means nothing really. It's just a name. And that's how it stuck, really. That's how it come about.
Where did you guys meet? Tell us a hybrid version, of the Blue story.
If you buy the book, it's all in there. I think... We all knew each other on the audition circuit. We saw each other on different auditions. I met Lee when he was 14. I was 16, you know, pursuing the dream of, you know, being in the entertainment business. Then I met Duncan. Me and Dunk decided to pursue, you know, doing the band. And Simon was living with Lee. And from that day, I was the last person to meet Simon. And then me and him got on like a house on fire and Blue was born.
Brilliant. Tell us now the creative process that you guys go through in creating from nothing to a 3 to 4 minute song. What is that process? Is it different each time? How do you guys merge into that journey of a melody, song, and instrumentation?
Oh, God. It's more of a case of like when you're in a studio, you sort of have ideas. What the song's about, how you want to pursue it, how you want to write it. Personally, for me, we like writing with different producers that have a beat. I like writing to a beat. I can't sit there and I'm not one for sitting there on a plane and write a song. I'm not that much of a genius, but some people can, and I respect that, but that's not how I personally work. I like to work with someone, bounce ideas, get some good top lines going. And that's how we genuinely, most of the time, come up with our songs. Yeah, we're in the studio, we give each other different harmonies to sing, and then we get different blends. And then that's the magic of Blue. That's how it's about. That's what how we start, you know, doing the album and stuff.
So you guys were together from 2000 and then for a period of time for a few years, and then you took a break for a few years. Tell us, what did you personally do during that period of time that you guys took a break?
I took time to reflect. I took time to go back to my first love, which was acting, and it always will be acting. Musical theatre is a very big part of my life. That's why I trained in before the band. And I went into musical theatre shows, and I did that for 5-6 years, and I loved every minute of it. I loved the fact of being someone else on stage for 2 hours a night, and I loved the process of starting rehearsals and finishing on performances.
As is the recipients of musical theatre, we go there one night, we see it, we love it, we give a standing ovation. But yeah. It's not easy doing musical theatre. I mean, you guys have the rehearsal process, and then it's however many shows a week. Some days it's two shows a week. How do you keep yourself energized, focused, to keep going through that process weeks, months, even years sometimes?
Yeah, the audience gets, when you're doing a show like in a musical theatre, the audience gets you going because every audience is different. They're not necessarily there to see you as the guy from Blue. They're there to see a show. And that's what I love. I love the fact of being in an ensemble piece. Whereas, you know, being in Blue is completely different from being in a musical, because if you do a Blue concert, 9 times out of 10 people are there to see you and the music, which is great.
Yeah.
But for me, I like the challenge of being on stage, being someone else, and just showing people what I can do on stage.
That portrayal of someone else, I suppose, takes you away from being you for 2 hours.
Honestly, it's the best feeling. It's the best feeling in the world. Honestly, it really is. It really, really is. I love it. I thrive on it. I love that process.
So if you do something people don't like, you can just blame it on the character.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, you know, when you're playing a villain on stage and you're playing a baddie, obviously, I'm not a bad guy, but
yes,
people really believe that, and it's great. Like, I've done pantomime, I've done Christmas shows where I've played the villain, and I love it. I thrive. I love getting booed. I love, you know, telling the audience to shut up and stuff. It's great because you can just get away with it. It's fantastic.
What's your bucket list of top 3 musical theatre shows that you'd like to be in that you have yet to do so?
Jersey Boys is one. That's top of my list. I'd like to do Miss Saigon, close second.
Yep.
And oh, 3, that's a good one, man. You got me. Three, I think if you asked my 16, 17 year old self, it'd have to be Grease, because it was my favorite musical growing up.
And
I'd love to sort of, you know, go back to being 16 again with big hair and a big quiff and thinking I'm Dan Zuko.
That's so cool. The journey of Blue, you guys got back together. We've been had a new album a few years ago. We've got the new album now. What reinvigorated you guys to get back together? What was that journey like of being away and then re-merging? Obviously, you guys are still in contact with each other.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. But
did the energy change from when you guys were first recording to when you rejoined? Or was it like riding an old bike?
Because when we first started, none of us had families. Simon had a child from a previous relationship, but none of us were, you know, had long-term partners, babies, kids at the time. And I think you got a different mindset. I think when, you know, it was a great time, don't get me wrong, but you're in a bubble. Whereas now it's literally you're juggling everything, you know, you're juggling trying to be a dad to your kids, teaching them right from wrong. But in the meantime of that, you're pursuing your job, you know. Like next week, my kids are off school next week for half term, but I won't be here because I'm up and down the country promoting the album.
Yes.
So it's a lot to take, but you have to do it. And sometimes I think you've got to think to yourself that we're here to provide. We're here to do the best we can and provide that our children, you know, touch wood, have good futures for them in the future.
And do your kids realize dad is this person, or do they just see you as dad?
They do see me as dad, but Savannah, my eldest, yesterday said that she was on a computer at school and one of the teachers said to her, oh, Google something that you think is true, you know, on the computer. That was their task. And Savannah Googled the boy band Blue and up pop, you know, her dad's face, and all her schoolmates are like, oh my God, that's Savannah's daddy. You know, that's Savannah's daddy. And it's great. It's nice that they realize what I do for a living, you know, rather than telling them off because they've, you know, got their bedroom, you know, messy. So yeah, it's great. It's great. It's good fun.
You guys have collaborated with Elton John, Stevie Wonder. Yeah. Are there any other artists that you guys would like to still collaborate with? Another bucket list. Tell me your top 3.
Barrett, how can you top Sir Elton John and Stevie Wonder, mate?
I totally agree. Absolutely.
I mean, how do I? Wow, that's a good question, man. Like, who's out there? That's obviously you've got the Ed Sheerans of this world.
Yeah,
but I don't know, man. Can we go like dead or alive? Is it? Can we change?
Oh, yeah, in it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, right. Okay, brilliant. I thought you meant people now. So, Oh god, that's an easy question for me. It's George Michael will be top.
Yes.
Freddie Mercury a close second, and I think Prince would be third there on that list. And unfortunately, they've all passed. So it's that. What I'm trying to get at is, will these people that are singers now and doing fantastically well ever be that legendary status that them three artists that I've just mentioned be? Do you know what I mean? Because music, as you know, Barrett, you know, it changes week in, week out. You know, there's no sustainability. That's why you've got to do other things to keep your mind active.
That experience with Elton John and Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
When you found out that was going to be happening pre to meeting them, what was that journey like? Was it nerves? Was it, oh my God? You know, was it a question? Was there any imposter syndrome that you felt at that time? Do you know what I mean by imposter syndrome?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, the story of Elton John, I'll give you a quick recap.
Yeah.
We finished the One Love album. So, you know, imagine the One Love album's finished. You're ready to go to print and you're ready to start promoting and blah, blah, blah. Then one of the lads had a bright idea of doing a cover.
Mm-hmm.
And the record company said, well, what cover would you do? And Lee said, sorry seems to be the hardest word. And for a laugh, he went, oh, God, could you imagine if Elton John sang it with us for like just a laugh? Should we just ask their management? This was just like a blasé convo. So record companies asked Elton John's record company management and they said, Elton would love to jump on board. He thought All Rise was the best album of 2001.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Which is, wow, a credit in itself, you know. So we were like, oh my God, like this guy actually knows who we are. And then, I mean, he came in, we were standing up like, you know, Sergeant Major was walking in, you know, checking out, inspecting our room and stuff and check if we've got a uniform cleaned. But he walked in, he was an absolute joy, a beautiful person. And he said to us, thank you for covering my song and bringing it up to date. And, you know, would you mind? His question was, would you mind if I went in the booth and just laid down a vocal? He goes, if you like it, great. If you don't, then take it out. It's not a problem. But I'm happy to be here and play piano for you. And that's how the story went with Elton.
Wow.
Yeah. Super insane.
Cool. Super cool.
And the mad thing is, 2 years before that, you know, I was up and down the country earning, you know, singing in working men's clubs, you know, earning like £50 a time. And I was singing his songs, you know, as covers. Do you know what I mean? And you think, wow, you know, in the space of like 2 years, this man who I've admired is singing with us.
Well, that's the law of attraction. We put it out there and it arrives. Sometimes we don't realize how quickly enough.
No, dude, I completely get that. And I never believed all that until things like that happen, you know, and Stevie Wonder as well. I mean, again, we had this bright idea. Oh, let's do a Stevie track. Let's get him on board. If he jump, you know, if he knows who we are, he listened to this version. He wanted to listen to the version before he jumped on board. If he didn't like it, then obviously he wasn't going to do anything.
Yeah.
But he loved it. And that was the story of Stevie. I mean, he was the first one at the video shoot and one of the last to leave. He wasn't a diva. He wasn't precious. He didn't have a massive entourage. He was just a lovely, lovely guy.
Brilliant. So the new album that's coming out, Heart and Soul, tell us a little bit more about that. If there are any favorite songs of yours.
So, yeah, man. Heart and Soul has been in the making for about just over 2.5 years. We started recording it in January 2020 for the pandemic. Our thing was to start recording in January and hopefully get it out by later that year. And obviously the world stopped for 18 months, 2 years. And it's been a long time coming. We really enjoyed the process, even though it was a bit strange because we all went into the studio at various times. That was one of the first albums we've done where we haven't been in the studio as a collective. So that was quite strange, sort of hearing one of your bandmates' vocals before you start singing and they're not in the room. Do you know what I mean? So we're happy. I was very honoured and chuffed that our first single was Haven't Found You Yet, which is a song that I co-wrote. And there's some fantastic tunes on there. There's a, you know, there's a track called Magnetic, which is very blue, ballady based. Mm-hmm. There's a This Could Be Love, which is such a great concert song. You know, it's big. It's big vocals. It's big instruments. It's big sounds. Let's Get Sad as well is one of my favorites. It's very different to what you normally associate with blues. So yeah, there's elements for people, you know, different types of music. You know, you've got a real lovely soulful ballad called Stop. So yeah, it's just, we're so excited about it. We're so excited for people to hear it now.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. The tracks that I've heard, Heart and Soul, and the ones you mentioned are super lovely, brilliant.
Thank
brilliant
you.
Tracks. And previously, you know, it was vinyls, cassettes earlier on, yeah. And then the CDs. Yeah. Those are making a comeback, gratefully, because I love me a CD. I have to have a CD. I like the pages. I like the color, turning the pages, all that stuff. Now we've got these digital platforms. What are your perceptions of the way people consume music now compared to when they previously did?
Again, I come back to my kids. I was clearing out the garage, Barrett, and I found some old cassettes of demos that me and the boys done from all those years ago, and CDs as well. My eldest asked a question. She went, "So what does that do then?" I said, "Oh, this is a cassette." She said, "But how do you?" And I said, "This plays music." And her face was just like, "What the fuck? I don't understand that." Like, she obviously didn't swear. "I don't understand." So she said, "So that's not Spotify." I went,
"That's a stupid."
And it's funny now that, you know, YouTube and Spotify and Amazon Music and Apple, iTunes, it's great. Don't get me wrong, but I'm like you, Barrett. I'm very old school. I love reading CD covers. I love reading who wrote the songs and who were the writers and the lyrics of the songs. That's how you learn your lyrics, you know? That's how you learn your lyrics to the concerts, you know? So yeah, I'm very old school. It's taken a while for that to sort of adjust in my head.
So I'm going to put you on the spot again.
Go on, then.
Little game I like to play. You might not like it. It's not top five favorites, because I know if I ask you this question in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, tomorrow, 5 days time, your answer will be different each time. So in this moment of time, your top five go-to songs by other artists.
Harry Styles. Oh, what's that bloody song that's in my bloody head all the time? As it was. Yeah, that's it. That's
yes.
I love Ed Sheeran. I love what's that? Again, I don't know the words. I don't know the song titles anymore to people. Savannah, what's that Ed Sheeran song you like? We like Bad Habits. Seems to Dan. I like that. So weird. I thought it was like my top favorite songs of all time. That'd have been easy.
So you got three more.
I know. I'm just trying to think, bro.
I know it's not easy.
It's not easy, man. Especially artists now. What songs will
you? No, it doesn't have to be artists now. It's any.
Bloody hell. Oh, mate, I'm here all day then. Right, okay. We've got Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yes.
We've got Earth, Wind & Fire Fantasy. We've got George Michael Outside. We've got Prince. Where do I go with Prince? Wow, fucking hell. I love Raspberry Beret because it brings back such funny memories of that album, particularly with listening to it on my CD player on planes with the boys.
No, we're done. We're done. That's five. I'm taking that.
See, I've got too many, Barrett, now.
Brilliant. When you guys come to perform in South Africa?
But mate, your guess is as good as mine. I've got no idea. We love South Africa. We filmed a video there years ago called You Make Me Wanna.
Yes.
Which was a lot of fun. Which was a lot of fun, mate. Great. It was fantastic. A lovely country. So lovely.
So putting it out there, when you guys come here, I'll be cheering right in front, cheering you on, and then we'll go for drinks afterwards. How does that sound?
Absolutely, Barrett. Let's put it out to the universe.
Excellent. Last question. Tell me, this podcast is listened to throughout the world. South Africa, the top three countries are UK, USA, and South Africa. As a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
I would like to say, keep safe. I would like to say thank you. If you're Blue fans, thank you for your patience over the years. If you are ever in the UK and you want to see us live, check us out. We're on tour in December. And a big big love heart, you know, one love, as we said once many years ago. And that was 20 years ago today, One Love came out.
Oh, really? So a brilliant way to celebrate the anniversary. One love to all of us. One love to you, Anthony.
God bless you, man.